Hello, faith-filled entrepreneurs. If you are looking to align your life and business biblically, grow your business in wisdom, and walk boldly in faith, you, my friend, have come to the right place because we have the same goal and we can walk this journey together. My name is Jen Kleiber, founder of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur, The Responsive Classroom, and Kleiber Investments. And my goal is to walk boldly forward in faith towards a Holy Spirit-led vision and biblical wisdom, and I would love for you to come along with me. We need faith leading business more than ever. So let's dive in. Hey friends, it is an absolutely beautiful day, and I am getting to sit outside and write a few podcast outlines, and I am just feeling really thankful. So thank you for being here with me. So a few episodes ago, I talked about the first step in our Prepared for Breakthrough mini course, fasting for breakthrough, making space for God to guide and direct you and work things out for your good. Such a beautiful way to show God that you are available. Then on episode 108, we talked a little bit about the last step, renewing your mind. But today I want to hop backwards to step two in the Prepared for Breakthrough course. And I want to talk about another tangible way to show your availability and faithfulness to God and the principle that Jesus teaches to go with it. Okay, so here it is. Being faithful in a little. Now, this is actually going to be a two-part episode. I want to talk about two different examples in the Bible where Jesus himself talks about this principle. In this episode, we're going to talk about the parable of the talents. And in the next episode, we're going to talk about when he calls Peter into his ministry. Now, I've touched on both of these in my Instagram in the past few months because this has really been a very convicting realization for me. So let's start with reading the parable of the talents. So just bear with me a moment while I read this parable. I know that I've talked about this recently, but it's just so dang good. And I think it's where a lot of us are really getting hung up and getting stopped from the Lord being able to use us in an even bigger way. Okay, so this is in Matthew 25. But first, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would teach us through his word, right? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the stories that you tell us to help teach us about yourself and about the kingdom of heaven and about who we are and how we should live. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to guess. I thank you that you lay it out for us. But Lord, I just ask that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes and open our hearts to what you would have us learn out of your word today. Thank you for each person listening to this podcast. I pray for blessings and favor in their lives, and I pray that their faith would grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I am reading out of the NLT version for understandability on a podcast, and this is in Matthew 25, verse 14. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Okay, so I've learned a few interesting things here. First of all, in other versions, it's called a talent. And a talent was obviously a measure of money. And most agree that it was equal to about a year's worth of a working man's salary. So nothing to sneeze about, right? Second, a lot of people back then did not trust banks. There was a lot of corruption going on in the banks. So they kept their money on them and they would even bury it. This was a common practice. When they left for long trips, they would often put someone else that they trusted in charge of it. Third, I heard an interesting take on this parable. At first read, it may seem a little unfair that the master gave different amounts of talents to the servants, but he knew what each could handle, and he knew that if he'd given too much to the second or third servant, it would be overwhelming. And he was equally as pleased with the second servant as he was the first servant. He did not compare the outcomes, he only looked at the faithfulness. So what is this parable teaching us? So much, right? I'm going to try to unpack it as best as I can. Number one, God gives us our abilities and then gives us responsibilities based on those abilities. So we have no excuse not to obey. Now, what this doesn't mean is that everything will come easy or there will be no risk. The first two servants had to work. They took some risks. God is not saying, if you're not comfortable being a public speaker, then you never have to speak in front of people, if that's what he's calling you to do. You'll have to walk forward in faith and trust, knowing that he'll equip you to do what he's called you to do, even if it's hard and uncomfortable. Okay, number two, we cannot compare journeys, period. For some of you, you have three small children at home and you homeschool and you run a side business. For some of you, you are single and thriving and working a lot of hours and fueled by a passion and a clear vision. For some of you, you may have children who are more independent or older, like me, and God is starting you over on some things or asking you to pivot. And in all of these situations, and more, it is so easy to look around and find someone who seems to be in a better place than you, further along in life or business, so to speak. Friends, I say this with love to you and myself. If you find yourselves in a place of comparison, this is a place of pride, and you are trying to please men and not God. And if we find ourselves there, we have to renew our mind and put our eyes back on our master who has called us to our journey. Okay, number three, the third servant thought of himself and his safety and comfort, while the other two thought of their master and his return. Our faithfulness is done because we have our thoughts and sights set on Jesus, not because of our own goals and dreams. Now, I'm going to say this again. Goals are not bad, but they have to be Holy Spirit driven. You're being called to write a book. Set some goals to make sure you get there. You're being called to coach women on a certain topic. Set some goals to help grow your impact. Absolutely. But as a faith-filled entrepreneur, setting a random goal that is not necessarily Holy Spirit-led, like I'm going to hit 7 figures by my third year in business, can be dangerous in that it takes the focus off of the master. Okay, and probably the most well-known lesson comes straight out of verses 21, 23, and 29. Let me reread those. Verses 21 and 23 are similar. It says, "The master was full of praise "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." I love that. And then verse 29 says, "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance." Friend, this is a very straightforward principle. We are given free will, which means we have the choice to love and serve God. And in a way, we have the choice to be available to Him, to be used by Him. We lean on Ephesians 3:20 a lot around here at the Faithful Entrepreneur. All glory to God, who through His mighty power at work within us will do infinitely more than we might ask or think. But y'all, if we are not available, if we're not being faithful in the little things, He's going to use someone else. Now, here's the awesome thing. I mean, there's a lot of awesome things, but here's another awesome thing. We serve a gracious God who will continue to pursue us. But we've been called to bigger things, and I want to go, right? I desire to be the first servant, the servant who is so available to God, who trusts God to equip me to do the work and to walk in that risk and uncomfortability. And this is me calling you out to go on this journey too. Because here's the thing, I want God to celebrate us. I want God to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I know that you want that too. Now I'm going to ask you a couple of self-reflection questions. Number one, which servant are you now? Right now, which one of the three would you say that you are? Which one do you want to be? Because I think this is important, right? We have to want to be used by God. We have to be willing to do the work there. Number two, where is fear holding you back? And number three, where is God calling you to go, and where are you operating too safely? Friends, prayer is the privilege that we have to get with our Master, our loving, gracious God. And so I would encourage you to sit with Him and ask Him to reveal some things to you as you self-reflect on these questions. Now, I just want to remind you of our free 31 days of powerful prayers that you can still get. These are game-changing prayers, and you can grab it free in the show notes or on the website at thefaithfulentrepreneur.com. Also, we've been talking about the Prepared for Breakthrough course. You can find that in the Equipped Digital Library. And again, the link to that is in the show notes or also on our website at thefaithfulentrepreneur.com. And don't forget to tune into the next episode for part two of Being Faithful in a Little. So I appreciate you. Please share this podcast, download and subscribe it. And if you have found value, it would be a huge help to me if you left a positive review on Apple or Spotify, as it gets the podcast in front of more people. And we know that we need faith leading business more than ever right now. Blessings to you, friends.